Well, good morning, CPC. Take a seat. Good to see you. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I know not all of you are football fans, though, but who's going for the Steelers? Who's rooting for the Steelers? Okay, who's rooting for the Cardinals? My people. All right. Kurt Warner, want to see him win. All right. Well, we are in our third sermon in a series on the Ten Commandments. And think about this. I was thinking about this week. Think about if everyone on the planet just started to obey all of the Ten Commandments. I mean, imagine how different our world would be, say, 3 weeks from now, if beginning today, everyone on the planet perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. If there was no stealing, no murder, if everyone kept the sixth and eighth commandment, Oakland would be a very different place if everyone did that. No adultery, the seventh commandment. Imagine if we just had a world teeming with faithful marriages that were together and vibrant and healthy. Imagine if children honored their father and their mother, the fifth commandment, and families were together and healthy with children that respected their parents. The ninth commandment, no bearing false witness. What if we were all truth tellers? What if people, individuals told the truth? What if the media always told the truth? Businesses, politicians, leaders, if we always told the truth. The tenth commandment, which reads, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, problem for me, his field, or his donkey. I mean, imagine if we didn't covet our neighbor's donkey. If we were simply content, if we were just content people with what God had given us, and this was a world full of contentment, imagine how different the world would be. But what about the third commandment? I mean, would anyone notice, would anyone care if we all were people who kept the third commandment? Would our world be a different place if people kept the third commandment? I mean, isn't this the weakest one of them all? Isn't this sort of the accessory commandment? It doesn't matter that much if you keep the third commandment. In English, it's 27 words. In Hebrew, it's 17 words. Here's the third commandment. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're not going to have the text on the screen today. It's just one verse. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. Look on with a neighbor. Here's the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is a massive commandment. I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, this is an easy commandment. As long as I never say, oh my God, I'm okay. I've kept the commandment. But this is not an easy commandment. This is a big commandment. This is a weighty commandment. What I hope to show you is this is a wonderful commandment. I mean, it might be that obeying the third commandment would make the most significant difference in our world. It might be that if we all kept the third commandment, our world would be a far better place, more so than keeping any of the other nine commandments. See, I believe the third commandment, it can change your life. If you kept the third commandment, if I saw you next Sunday and you spent this whole next week perfectly obeying this third commandment, your life would be very different. You'd be a different person. This commandment can change your life. Alan Cole, he said this in his commentary on the Ten Commandments. He says, the whole of the Ten Commandments are really the explanation of God's name. The whole of the Ten Commandments are really the explanation of the third commandment, God's name. So what's the big deal about a name? I mean, a name's just a name, right? It doesn't matter what you call something. The name doesn't matter. That's what Shakespeare said. Remember Juliet? Remember what Juliet said to Romeo? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. I mean, in other words, it doesn't matter what you call something, a thing's name, a flower's name, a person's name. That doesn't matter. What just matters is the thing itself. A name doesn't matter. You see, in Hebrew culture, in ancient Near Eastern culture, when the Ten Commandments were originally written, the people that the commandments were written to, name was everything. I mean, a name contained the very essence and presence of a person. A person's whole identity was bound up in a name. A name was power. You might say, well, that doesn't matter today. It's a different world today. Names don't matter today. Really? I mean, names still carry great power today. What comes to mind when I say these names? Barack Obama. Mother Teresa, Adolf Hitler. Names convey power. Sometimes people change their names because the name that they have, the name that they were given, it doesn't adequately express their identity and who they are, and so they have to change their name. This is why Marion Michael Morrison changed his name to John Wayne. You can't be a cowboy named Marion. You can't be tough with a name like Marion. You need John Wayne. Names are powerful. Without a name, you're not a person. I mean, you get your identity from your name. Why did your parents choose your name? Why did they choose your name? I mean, who would you be without your name? Who would you be if no one knew what to call you, if you didn't know what to call yourself, if you didn't have a name? I mean, there's a world of difference between going in a restaurant and saying, "Hey, waitress," and saying, "Hey, Mary." There's a world of difference between walking around your neighborhood and saying, "Hey, officer," and saying, "Hey, Joe." Names are powerful. I mean, in the ancient world, when you called on the name of a god, you were calling for a specific response from that god that reflected the identity and character of that god. When you cried out to Baal, the Canaanite god Baal, the god of rain, when you cried out to Baal, Baal, you were calling for a specific response. You were calling for rain to come onto your land. When you called out to Asherah, the god of fertility, when you called on her name, Asherah, you were calling for fertile crops. You called for a specific response. And so when the ancient Israelites used, when we use God's name, we are calling upon a specific response from the Lord our God. We're calling upon all of who God is, and we're asking Him to act in our life in consistency with His character, with who He is. The ancient Israelites, they understood that when they used God's name, it's as if they were using God, calling upon Him, all of His resources. I mean, we've got to remember the context of these Ten Commandments. Remember the context of this third commandment. These people, the Israelites, they were broken. They were slaves in Egypt. They were destitute. They were needy. They were desperate. And they cried out to God for help, and God rescued them, and He's preparing them now to bring them into the promised land. See, God did something for His people long before He ever asked anything of the people. He rescued His people. He saved them from their sin. He saved them from their slavery. And now He is giving them these commandments as an expression of what it means to know Him and to follow Him. And it's pretty incredible. I mean, you'd think it would be the other way around. I mean, you'd think it would be the other way around that us people, sinful people, we would say, we recognize the gap between us and God, a holy God. You would think we would reach out to God and we'd kind of make terms. We'd try to make a pact with Him. God, have mercy on me. If I just obey this and keep a few kind of commandments, then would you be good to me? But it's the other way around. It's grace. God reaches down to us. He makes a pact with us. He saves us. And then He says, this is now what it looks like for you to live a life consistent with knowing me and following me and my rescue in your life. Obey these commandments. And so that's the background of this third commandment. In the strength of His name, God rescues these people. And then He says, live a life of honoring my name and lifting my name high. It's all about His name. When God was preparing Moses to lead the people out of the promised land, He said this to Moses, Exodus 9:16. But for this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. See, this is a big commandment. This is a big commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It is all about His name. So we understand the power of a name. We understand what a name is, just how significant God's name is. But what exactly does this commandment mean? How do we misuse God's name? What does it mean to take God's name in vain? In vain. This word, a Hebrew word, translated better, it means worthless purposes. Worthless purposes. That's what vain means, to have an unworthy use of a name. The ancient Israelites, they took God's name in vain. Whenever they made a promise, whenever they made an oath, kind of flippantly including God's name in it, and then they just broke that oath. They broke that promise. They violated this commandment whenever they mixed their worship of the one true God with that of false gods. They violated this commandment whenever they used God to get ahead and to make a name for themselves rather than honoring God and honoring His name. How about you? Do you take God's name in vain? Are you someone who breaks the third commandment? Do you violate it? There are many ways that you and I break the third commandment. We're going to talk about just three of them. Three of the ways that we break the third commandment. In the ancient world, in the Hebrew world, they would have never dreamt. These people, they would have never dreamt of how we misuse and take God's name in vain today in our secular society. The ancient Hebrews, they wanted so badly to protect God's name and to not misuse it that they actually rarely used it. They would have never dreamt of the ways that it's misused in today's society. Listen to this. Stephen Carter, in his book, Taking God's Name in Vain, he writes, "In truth, there is probably no country in the Western world where people use God's name quite as much or quite as publicly or for quite as many purposes as we Americans do, the third commandment notwithstanding. Few candidates for office are able to end their speeches without asking God to bless their audience or the nation or the great work we are undertaking, but everybody is sure the other side is insincere. Athletes, thank God, often on television after scoring the winning touchdown because, like politicians, they like to think God is on their side. But if Kurt Warner today wins the Super Bowl and he says something, God is on Kurt Warner's side. I like Kurt. He's going to say something good. He always does. Churches erect huge billboards and take out ads in the paper. God's will is cited as a reason to be against gay rights and as a reason to be for them. Everybody who wants to change America and everybody who wants not to understands the nation's love affair with God's name, which is why everybody invokes it." So one of the ways that we Americans misuse God's name, and this is what most people think of when they think of violating the first commandment, and it's so much more than this, but it's never less than this. One of the ways we misuse God's name is when we use God's name essentially as a cuss word. When something disagreeable happens to us. When something disagreeable happens to you, do you blurt out God's name essentially like a cuss word? God? Oh my God? God damn it? Jesus Christ? Do you say that? You wouldn't do that with your mother's name. I mean, my mom, I love my mom, Joan Buzzard, great woman. But what if every time I slammed my fingers in the door, I just said, "Joan Buzzard!" What if every time something went wrong in my life and I was angry and frustrated, I just said, "Joan Buzzard"? That'd be taking Joan Buzzard's name in vain. That'd be using my mom's name for an unworthy purpose. You wouldn't do it with your mom's name. Don't do it with God's name. If you're a Christian, this is the name that saved you. This is the name that calls you out of your sin and saved you. Don't do it with his name. Jesus said, Matthew 12:36. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." Don't use his name like a cuss word. That's the first way we violate the third commandment. The second way we violate this commandment is by building our own name. Building our own name. Instead of spending our life building up God's name, lifting his name high, we're so concerned about building up our own name. You are a spotlight. God designed you to be a spotlight. Spotlight. Spotlights are designed to shine on to something else, to highlight something else, to direct your attention to something else. I spent 4 years living in Santa Barbara, and one of my favorite buildings in Santa Barbara, one of the most beautiful buildings there, is the Santa Barbara Courthouse. This old building, a Spanish style. It's gorgeous. And the best time to see the Santa Barbara Courthouse is at nighttime. Positioned around the courthouse on the ground are all these spotlights, all these floodlights that shine onto the courthouse, that direct your attention onto the courthouse. And what a beautiful building it is. Imagine how sad it would be if those lights just turned inward and didn't shine onto the courthouse and didn't direct your attention there. That's how a lot of us live our lives. We've forgotten that God designed us, that God created us to direct attention onto him. To shine onto him, we're spotlights turned inward. They get so concerned with building up our own name and our own identity. I mean, this was the problem of the builders of the Tower of Babel. Remember that story? The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, these people, they want to build a name for themselves. They forget about God. They want to build a tower to the heavens. This is what that text says, Genesis 11:4. "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves.'" and that ended in disaster. It didn't work. Whose name are you living for? Whose name are you building up? Whose name am I building up? Am I concerned with Justin Buzzard? Or am I concerned with the Lord my God? Don't build your own name. Don't worry about building your own name. You are a spotlight. And the only way that you are going to discover what is unique about you and special about you is by doing what you were designed to do. By shining onto God. By directing your focus onto Him. By not turning inward, but turning outward and building up His name. By doing what you were designed to do. I mean, imagine how much different our world would be if all of us little spotlights quit worrying about ourselves and just shined our lights onto God and built up His name. If we got rid of our own little agendas, our own little concerns, our own little need for ourselves to be recognized, and we were united having God's name be recognized. So that's the second way you violate the third commandment, when you live a life of building your own name rather than His name. And here's the third way. When you read this command simply as a no-no rather than as a yes-yes. See, all the Ten Commandments, all of them, they can be stated in the positive. Thou shalt not commit adultery is essentially saying, thou shalt build up great, healthy, strong marriages based on God that give glory to God and that are a blessing to this world. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's donkey is saying, be content with your own donkey. Be content with what God has given you. Be happy with it. He knows your needs. He's taking care of you. All these commandments, they can be stated in the positive. You've got to see that the big idea of the Ten Commandments, it's not to avoid a few no-nos. And these commandments, they affirm life. They're a roadmap to a big and fulfilling and great and new life that honors God. There's deep wisdom in these Ten Commandments. So don't misunderstand the third commandment as simply a no-no. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. See, God wants us to use His name. God wants us to use His name. There's one thing you can't do with God's name. You can't misuse it. You can't take it in vain. But there are 100 things you can do with God's name. God's name can be spoken. It can be worshipped. It can be treasured. It can be celebrated. It can be whispered. It can be shouted. It can be lifted high in the name of God. You can pray. You can heal. You can baptize. You can preach. You can rest. You can rejoice. You can move mountains in His name. And He has many names. He is King. He is Lord. He is Shepherd. He is Provider. He is Protector. He is the God Most High. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have it backwards. I have it backwards. You have problems in your life. That's one thing I am hearing so consistently right now in this time of life. People are really afraid. People have a lot of problems. But we have it backwards because you see all of your problems. You see all of your problems as infinite. You see them as massive, as so big, as just unending, all the series of your problems, all of your worries, and you see God as big as my fist. Your problems are huge. Your God is the size of a fist, maybe the size of a hair on my knuckle. We have it backwards. God wants us to see that He is infinite, that He is big, that He is massive, and compared to Him and who He is, our problems aren't even the size of a fist. Not even the size of a hair on my knuckle. We are far too aware of our problems and not nearly aware enough of God and of who He is. ABC's Ted Koppel famously said it, Duke University's commencement address a few years ago. He said, what Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the 10 suggestions, but the 10 commandments. See, as His people, God expects us to obey His commandments. He expects us to obey this third commandment. But we fail. We fail. We don't keep the third commandment. We don't use God's name like He wants us to. Instead, we use His name like it's a cuss word. We spend our lives building up our own name rather than His name. We don't take hold of the thousands of uses that God wants us to make of His name, thousands of positive uses that lift His name high. It would seem that you and I are unable to keep this third commandment. We can't do it. And do you know that breaking this commandment, it comes with a consequence? It comes with a penalty. I believe this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a penalty and consequence attached to it. You can double check me, but I'm pretty sure. This is the consequence. The second half of verse 11 reads, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." That's the worst punishment imaginable. The guilty verdict. I mean, that was the worst thing when you broke one of your parents' rules as a kid and you didn't know exactly what the punishment was. You just knew you were guilty and you sat in your room and you waited. What's going to happen? I'm guilty. I don't know. Well, we know what the guilty verdict means. Sinner standing before a holy God. Guilty. That's terrible. So here's what this commandment is saying. What we do with God's name will determine what He does with us. What we do with God's name will determine what He does with us. If we take His name in vain, He won't take us. But if we take up His name in faith, He will take us in His great grace. See, you can't do it. I can't do it. But there is somebody who obeyed the third commandment perfectly. There is somebody who honored God's name his whole life. There is someone who went to his death honoring God's name perfectly. His name is Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. Jesus transforms the third commandment. He makes this commandment new to us. See, throughout his whole ministry, Jesus always called God Father. Always. Read the Gospels tonight. Jesus always addresses God as Father, as my Father. But there was one time that Jesus couldn't call God Father. During the darkest hour of his life, on the cross, bearing the sins of the world, bearing the guilt and the punishment of all of us third commandment breakers, Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He couldn't call him Father. Because forsaken by the Father on the cross, he was shouldering the punishment that we deserved. And Jesus opened up a way for us to call God by a new name. Father. Father. See, many people say they know God. Many people say they know God. But do you know Him by name? Can you call Him Father? Long ago, Moses said to the Israelites, "Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." But today, Jesus says to you, you can call God by a new name. This is how you should address Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is what separates Christianity from all other religions. All other religions, you must reach up to the gods and prove yourself. Christianity gives you a God who reaches down to you in His name and makes Himself known to you. Christianity, you have the God who loved you and sent His Son, sacrificed His Son in order to make you His son, in order to make you His daughter. The Father and the Son planned it so that Jesus would accomplish Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made." See, this isn't just any God. This isn't just any name. This isn't just any Father. If you've trusted Christ, this is your Father. He's not just the Father of everybody. He's your Father. He's the Father of Francis. He's the Father of Christy. He's the Father of Claire. He's the Father of Matt. He's the Father of Jean. He's your Father. See, the Ten Commandments, they don't just tell us what to do. They tell us who we are. Children of God. Sons and daughters loved by the Father. Jesus has taken away the frightening penalty of the third commandment, and he's opened up to us just a whole new way of life, a whole new way of calling God Father and knowing him and trusting in him. So how do we do it? How do we do it? We still have a commandment in front of us, the third commandment. How do we not take the name of the Lord our God, our Father, in vain? Stated positively, how do we honor this name? How do we do it? I've been thinking about this question all week. How could we as a church most put this commandment into practice? How can we apply this? What's maybe the one thing we could do to best keep this commandment? Because there's a million ways you can keep this commandment. But I don't want to overwhelm you with just another massive to-do list. I want to serve you. I want to give you something that you can take away. I want to give you one thing to maybe focus on this week as you seek to keep this commandment. Here's what you do. Bank on the name. I mean, trust the name. Bank on his name. Bank on your Father's name. We live in uncertain times. Things are uncertain. Things look scary. And I read yesterday in the paper, Wall Street had their worst January ever. Not worst January since like the 1980s. Worst January ever. That's bad. Times are hard. Bank on the name. There's one name. There's one thing that you can be certain about in these uncertain times. And that is the name of the Lord your God. You can be certain of him. He hasn't had his worst January ever. He is still in full control. He is not shaken. This bank never fails. Do you know that your Father, your Heavenly Father, is working out his perfect plan for your life? And that includes all the difficulties and all the suffering that you're going through right now. He is still your Father. He is still working out his perfect plan. Do you believe that? Edmund Clowney writes, speaking of uncertain circumstances, we cannot understand the mystery. We only know that God used the cross, the greatest crime of history, to bring redemption, and that no suffering enters our lives that does not bring with it grace now and a weight of glory in the future. For a decade, I have been preaching God's sovereignty, that God is God, that he is a big God, that he has detailed oversight over our lives, no matter what circumstances come our way. Only now, only in this difficult season of life, am I beginning to actually believe that he is sovereign, to actually live as though what I preach is true. Why? Because in this difficult season, all my other banks have failed. All the other places where I have placed my trust, where I've placed my faith, they've crumbled. See, that's the silver lining in this difficult time. That maybe we'll just become a people who learn to trust our God and to really know him amid everything that's going on right now. Bank on the name. This week, shift your focus. Shift where you place your trust. Bank on the name. Let the Psalms be your tutor. If you have spent quite a bit of time, like me, not truly banking on the name of God, not truly finding your identity there and your safety there, it's going to take you a while to learn how to really bank on the name. Let the book of Psalms be your tutor. The book of Psalms, that's the prayer book of the Israelites. That's the prayer book of God's people as they learned to bank on God amid difficulties, amid fear, amid all the uncertainties of life. What we're going through right now is not new. This is true to the human condition. This is true to the history of the world. Life is hard. The Psalms are the people of God working out what it means to bank on God when life is hard, when things are threatening. The way I made it through yesterday was Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The Lord our God is a sun and shield. He gives us light and he gives us protection. If God is our sun, if God is our shield, we have nothing to be afraid of. We can trust in him. Basically, we keep the third commandment. We do not take God's name in vain. We honor his name when we live like sons and daughters. when we live like people who have a Father who loves us and who has detailed oversight over our lives, that's when we keep the third commandment. Maybe what you need, maybe you need to get someone in your life, a mentor, who can teach you how to do this. That's what I've needed to do. I started off 2009 by getting two men to mentor me. I went to two men and told them that I needed to learn how to bank on God, how to live my life that way, how to trust Him. I took these two guys, had a little commissioning ceremony, placed my hands on their head and said, "You mentored me this year." That was my two sons, Crew and Hudson, a two-year-old and a three-month-old. They're not Christians yet, but these boys, they have childlike faith. They know a dad, a father who loves them and who provides for them. They don't have worries. I need them to teach me how to be a son. I'm 30 years old and I'm just now learning how to be a son. So maybe you need to get your children to mentor you, someone who can show you how to do this. Let's bank on God in 2009. Let's live like sons and daughters of the Father. Let's bank on His name. Let's keep the third commandment together. Let's be a church on the peninsula that banks on His name. No matter what threats come our way this next week, He won't fail you. He won't let you down. You can bank on Him. Father, we praise You that we can call You by that name. Lost in our sin, we were unable to call You Father. But because You sent Your Son on our behalf, we can come to You as our Father. We can be sons. We can be daughters. Well, Lord, would You pour out Your grace upon us here in 2009? Would You help us to be people? Would You help us to be a church that keeps this third commandment, that banks on the name? Would You be with my dear brothers and sisters this week as they meet with difficulties as soon as they walk out of this door? Would You shift their attention to where they're truly banking? Would they bank on You? Would they bank on Your name? In the name of Christ, amen.